From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. It appears that the party of former president of Bolivia, Evo Morales, has captured the presidency once again in elections held this past weekend. According to exit polls, MAS candidate Luis Arce outpolled opposition candidate Carlos Mesa approximately 52% to 31%. Mesa and a third-party candidate have conceded, and official results are expected to be released within the next couple of days. For more on all of that, we spoke with our reporter from south of the border, Tony Solo, in Managua, Nicaragua. They said they would not announce the official results until later, and so everyone got nervous about that. But apparently, the turnout for MAS was so strong that everyone agrees, and even the opposition, main opposition candidate, conceded that, look, they won. MAS won.
Yeah, and even the usurper president Añez congratulated Luis Arce Catacora on his victory, and she's an out and out fascist.
Yep.
And so if even she acknowledges that victory on the basis of the exit polls, I mean, there was some nervousness immediately after the polls closed, the voting stations closed, because the electoral authority told the polling companies, the opinion survey companies, that they weren't allowed to publish their unofficial exit polls until an hour or 2 hours after the voting stations closed.
Right.
But even when that period elapsed, there was some delay before the survey companies started publishing their results, which gave, as you said, this overwhelming victory to Evo Morales. Now, a lot of people have been really enthusiastic about this victory, and of course, it's a very important victory. But I mean, there are lots of riders that we have to kind of take note of, in my opinion, right, before we can really celebrate. And obviously, we have to wait for the official result on Tuesday, and let's see what shenanigans play out there.
Right.
But assuming that the official result does reflect what Carlos Mesa and the usurper president Añez have said, which is to recognize the victory of the MAS candidate Luis Arce and his vice presidential candidate David Choquehuanca, who is a senior minister. They were both senior ministers in Evo Morales' government for years.
Right.
So their victory is a personal triumph for them and for all of Evo Morales' previous ministerial team, and for the movement towards socialism party. MAS means it's Movimiento al Socialismo, the movement to socialism.
Right.
So that's a very significant victory. But maybe we should have just a quick glance at the figures. And Evo Morales won with 52.something% against 47% in 2019, so he's had a 5% gain in support.
Right.
Or the MAS party have. Carlos Mesa, who was the main opposition candidate last year as well, he slipped 5 points from 36 down to 31.
Right.
Then there's this character Chi Hyun Chung, who last year ran with something called the New Christian Democratic Party, and last year
right.
he got well over 8%, but
yeah,
he's dropped back
nine.
To
yeah.
Just 1%.
Right. Oh.
And then last year there was another guy called Oscar Ortiz who polled 4%, and he doesn't even figure in the percentages now. But there's this character Luis Fernando Camacho, who's the fascist separatist leader of the Santa Cruz province in Bolivia.
Right.
And he polled, according to these unofficial exit polls, he polled 14%. Now, what does that mean? And that means that the Carlos Mesa and Luis Fernando Camacho, 31 and 14, that's 45%, right? And so that reflects something that you and I have always noted over years now, that there's a very, very strong opposition vote in practically all these countries, but they're always in a minority compared to the vote, sometimes not by much, sometimes by a lot, compared to the vote for the progressive movements, yeah, like the movement, the Bolivia's movement to socialism. And you can see that if you add those two votes together, the right wing and opposition vote is around 45%. And that, what does that mean? That means that the polarization that made possible the coup last year, which the United States exploited so astutely and successfully, together with a whole range of social democrat and non-governmental organizations and other kind of center and center right components of Bolivian society, that they'd never have been able to have pulled off that coup last year. And although they had obviously they'd bought off the military and the police, I still don't think they'd been able to pull it off if the right wing hadn't had such significant support, and with social democrats holding the door open for them.
Yeah, well, you know, part of the problem, I'm trying to parse the results here, and part of that, you know, almost 50%, aggregation stands with the right. Is based, I mean, we're talking about, you have the separatist tendency in Santa Cruz, as you mentioned. Now, Santa Cruz has Bolivia has a population of like less than 12 million people. And Santa Cruz has a population of almost 3.5 million out of that. And the election results in 2019, for example, had generally run with Mas having the entire country, with the exception of the three easternmost provinces, one of those being Santa Cruz, and the other two being barely populated. If you dropped a couple of district leaders in there for Soviet Communist Party, they would probably win because the population is, you know, mostly is very small. But the Santa Cruz with 3.5 million, that's a substantial part. You know, let's just for context, in the 2019 election, Evo Morales, I mean, the turnout was 80-something percent, was 88% turnout, okay? Right. So we're talking about eligible voters.
Voting's mandatory in Bolivia.
Okay, so that means that, you know, that these numbers represent, even though it's 11 million population, eligible voters, like, you know, adults mostly. So you got 2.9 million.
It's getting on 8 million.
2.9 million people voted for Morales. 2.2 million people voted for Mesa, who's the opposition candidate again here. And then about 500,000 people voted for Chi-Hyun Chung, who was the person that you spoke of with the PDC last time. And so, you know, if you have a population that's secessionist in tendency, you know, you got here like a total of 6.5 million people voting. You know, a population of 3 million, even if half of that is eligible to vote, that's a big chunk. A big chunk. And so no matter what people think about left, right, or sideways on that spectrum, if the tendency is towards secession, if one of the parties tends that way, they're going to get an outsized vote that may not reflect the true left-right sentiment in the country, but that big Megillah in the room there.
Yeah, no, and you're very right to point out those kinds of factors, because and there's so many things that you could say about the advantage, the disadvantage that Mas overcame in terms of being able to campaign at all.
Oh, sure.
With candidates being beaten Really? Their offices burned down. And, you know, and, yeah. What would they have got under normal circumstances? Who knows? I mean, they might well have done better. But the result is what it is, and we have to deal with what there is. And I think it's reasonable on our part to say that although it was a tremendously encouraging victory for MAS and the ministerial colleagues of Evo Morales and Evo Morales himself, and what a vindication of him, it's still not. And like, for example, I look at the results, recent results here in Nicaragua, and Daniel Ortega and the Sandinista Front here won by margins, you know, 62. They won with 62% of the vote in 2011, and they won with 70% of the vote in 2016 in elections that nobody could say were rigged. Even the OAS didn't say they were rigged.
Right.
So looking at it from Nicaragua, that's what looks like a genuinely tremendous, unquestionable victory. And when you look at the number of people voting for the right wing in Bolivia, and it's an important victory, but it would be wrong to call it a precarious victory in electoral terms, but in social and political terms, as you say, and what is going to be the role of the police?
Right.
What is going to be the role of the army? I've spoken to some people who say that the progressive forces in the army now feel vindicated, and that now they'll feel much more able to express themselves than they could under the coup regime. Something that was encouraging was that the disgusting character, I think his name was Murillo, who was the interior minister in Bolivia, he just got the sack from Añez. Like so many of these people, they're just out and out fascists. They don't make any bones about their hatred for indigenous people. And so there's that. But when you look, and there's so many things to look at. One of the things that I was talking to our colleague Jorge Capilan earlier today, and both Jorge and myself agree that what the likely, from the US point of view, they probably don't mind very much at all that Evo Morales and the MAS party are back in power, because Jeanine Añez, the usurper president, and her team have done their job, the same as Mauricio Macri did in Argentina. They've trashed the country. They've left it in a state that will be extremely difficult for the new authorities, whenever the new government takes place, to recoup the losses to Bolivia's patrimony. And we have to look at what is going to be the impact of any agreements that the current government has signed in terms of room for maneuver for the new government when it takes office, and for example to do with lithium. Will the MAS party now be able to go ahead with their plans to use Bolivia's enormous lithium resources, which Elon Musk himself acknowledged were the reason that they staged a coup?
Right.
We'll coup whoever we like. That's what Elon Musk said.
Yep.
Right?
And we'll expropriate whoever we like.
Yeah.
I can't wait for that.
So from the United States point of view, I mean, they're probably disappointed but not surprised that MAS won, because they won in 2019. So why wouldn't they win after a disastrous right-wing government has destroyed the country, trashed the country, failed to meet people's health needs during the COVID-19 pandemic. They plunged the country into over $300 million worth of debt with the IMF in order to fund their non-response to the pandemic. And there are a whole series of things that this government has done that has left Bolivia's economy like a train wreck, a shipwreck.
Right.
And the same way, exactly the same as Mauricio Macri. Mauricio Macri, the Argentinians suffered 4 years of Macri. But in the 1 year that Jeanine Añez and her usurper government have been in power, and they've done almost as much damage in 1 year as Mauricio Macri did in four.
Right.
So, and obviously, because in Argentina there was some kind of resistance to Macri at a political level, and under the coup regime of Janine Añez, that wasn't possible.
Right.
So, in domestic terms, the MAS is going to have a huge job on its hands just to rebuild Bolivia back to where it was in 2019. It might take them 3, 4, 5 years to do that.
Yep.
So from the downside from the United States government's point of view is that they now have Bolivia back in the OAS voting against them, because that's what's going to happen. And they'll have a very strong authoritative voice in the OAS, condemning the OAS for its outrageous, disgraceful behavior, both in Bolivia and in the region over the last few years. So when you look at the people who've been congratulating, significantly no right-wing government has so far congratulated the MAS party on its electoral success, but Argentina's government has. Mexico's and Andrés Manuel López Obrador has congratulated them. Nicaragua has, Cuba has. So you can see what that means. You can see what the victory means in regional terms. For example, Evo Morales is talking about reactivating UNASUR, which the United States and its regional allies wanted to drown in the bath.
Right.
You know, and they haven't been able to. And now that Bolivia's come to its senses in terms of what it needs to do in the region, you know, integrate more, what kind of integration? And it'll be a socialist based integration, not a neoliberal based integration like the Pacific Alliance, because all kinds of things are going to be thrown out of kilter by this win, because Bolivia will rejoin ALBA, it'll rejoin UNASUR, it'll drop out of the Pacific Alliance, right, and it'll again take up its place as a country pushing for a socialist agenda within Mercosur, right? So in regional terms, it is a very, very significant change. And also it'll give some relief to Venezuela, because Venezuela will now have another country that's arguing unequivocally for a respect for Venezuela's sovereign independence and self-determination, right? And Bolivia's, in that sense, Bolivia's, the change of government in Bolivia will be hugely important.
Right.
So, you know,
it shows like the immediate past and the immediate future for a half dozen countries in that region that you can think of off the top of your head. This is another example to Brazil going forward. You know, Brazil was divided in half. Brazil really should have a socialist president after the last election, after what was done by putting the guy who was the most popular politician in the country in jail long enough to miss the election. You mentioned Macri and you know, what's happened there since that, which we discussed, I think the day after the election, we said that was going to happen, more or less. It was so obvious.
Yeah, and it's so obvious.
And around the region, you know, they have the coup in Honduras. They've had to, you know, jump through all kinds of hoops to maintain control there. And anytime anybody decides to drop Mel Zelaya into the presidential palace, $10 says that thousands of people surround the place to defend him. It's, you know, he's still very popular there. How many times have they tried to tip over Nicaragua, including at gunpoint? It's just, you know, this is something people do not give up forever. When I think that the long reign of the Monroe Doctrine in the Western Hemisphere has ended. And I think we're seeing like the last gasps, with this last group of reversals. And I don't know that they're going to be able to maintain. This is a perfect example of it. Bolivia's, they snapped back the minute they had an election. You know, the minute they had an election.
And forget about tides and waves and all this nonsense.
Pink tides and red waves and blue.
There's one long impulse that has dominated the history of Latin America and the Caribbean, and that is the struggle of the impoverished majority for a decent life.
That's right.
And that has never gone away.
Yep.
It's not a wave.
Nope.
It's not a tide.
Nope.
It's a fundamental impulse that has driven the history of the region for centuries.
Right.
And now what you've got is the situation where, as you say, the Monroe Doctrine is essentially kind of a zombie. It's still it's kind of I in the past I've often talked about the dead hand of
that's what it
of
is.
US imperialism and European imperialism choking the life out of Latin America and the Caribbean. And that's, you know, I mean, it's that what this result in Bolivia has done has shown that yet again, and that's this deep historical impulse is what is driving history in Latin America and the Caribbean. People are just not gonna, the impoverished people, indigenous people, people of African descent, and all the minorities are just not going to put up with being told, well, you can't have a decent life.
Right.
You can't have health care. You can't have education. You can't go to university. Poor people can't be engineers.
Right.
They're sick of all that.
Right.
And that's what somebody actually said here in Nicaragua once during a student protest. One of the bourgeois educators or university administrators here actually said, poor people can't be engineers.
Right.
You know? And imagine. And people, that is what the Bolivian elite think.
Yep.
They think indigenous people aren't entitled to what everybody's entitled to.
That's right. Yep.
So, you know, of course it'll have some knock-on effect too in terms of expectations elsewhere. In Ecuador, for example.
Right.
Over the couple of days, Rafael Correa's political party that had been practically suppressed in all kinds of ways in the run-up to being allowed to participate in Ecuador's electoral campaign. I think Ecuador has elections in February, so what are we away from that? But now the Ecuadorian electoral authority has finally allowed the party that supports Rafael Correa's policies, because he won't be able to take part because he's been falsely sentenced by some trumped up Ecuadorian
court.
Lawfare.
Right. Yeah.
And he's been excluded from participating by one of these lawfare stunts.
And what's cute? I love that. You know. By the way, you have that whole condition that they've used against the left in half a dozen countries now since they invented it, which mirrors the real condition in places like Peru, where each of the presidents that comes into office, a succession of them, they actually are crooks. And now this one is maybe seeing the door and might get a cage next to the last three or four presidents that are in jail or were in jail.
In terms of what their likely policy is going to be, in order to be able to operate at all, they're going to have to issue some kind of, in Bolivia I'm talking about, they're going to have to issue some kind of amnesty for all the things that the right wing did, very similar to what happened in Nicaragua. If Nicaragua hadn't issued an amnesty in 2019 to the hundreds of gangsters and murderers and torturers that had got locked up as a result of their crimes during the failed coup attempt, the violent failed coup attempt here, and the country would would have suffered such social instability.
Right. Yeah.
And so that is what you're likely to see in Bolivia, and then little by little, one of the things that they'll have to do is to remove all the senior police officials and the senior military figures who facilitated the coup and who were bought off with US money to take part in the coup. So what we're going to see is that a process of 1-2 years in which MAS are going to try and remake or heal the wounds, if you like, in Bolivia as a result of what's happened since the 2019 coup and during the 1 year of this coup regime. And people are going to, people in Bolivia are going to have to swallow a lot of bitter pills in order for the country to progress. Because then, of course, as you said right at the beginning, and they're also going to have to deal with a very, very likely attempt, just as in 2008, by the so-called Media Luna, the half-moon provinces in Bolivia, led by the people in Santa Cruz, to secede from Bolivia. Mm. So they're going to have to try and hold Bolivia together against this. What I expect to, I expect that they'll very quickly start lobbying and holding disruptive events in the country in favor of secession for Santa Cruz, at least,
right.
And possibly more than Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
So and Evo Morales is going to and his team are going to have to work out how to deal with that. So
that's the game that they play too. You know that the imperialists play that game too. I mean, it's Katanga Province or South Sudan or whatever. It's the same thing you find inside the country. Some people either with a historical gripe or this is just where there's a small enough population to manipulate and a big chunk of some resource like coltan in Katanga or whatever and boom, there's a secession movement and
right.
This kind of problem.
Yeah, and looking at the result from the point of view of the United States, I think one of the positive things that's going to come out of this is that people in Bolivia have undergone, as my colleague Jorge Capelán noted when we were talking this morning, the people in Bolivia, just like people here in Nicaragua, went through a very rapid political education through 2018. The United States invested getting on for a decade of resources in training up a new generation of opposition figures to carry out the coup and make it seem justifiable on social media. And they're all burned out now. They're all no good. The US invested all those resources in building up a new generation of opposition leaders, and they've had it.
Right.
The people in Nicaragua know what they are, and that's why they kind of register something under 2% support. Even the traditional political parties poll better than the new generation that had been trained up by the United States here in Nicaragua of opposition stooges and traitors, quislings.
Right.
And now that's what's going to happen in Bolivia. All those people that supported the coup, all those social democrat NGOs that supported the coup, and they lost all credibility. Because they, who facilitated the coup government, they did.
Right.
And people are always going to remember that. All the money that the United States invested in that Bolivian opposition, that's gone up in smoke.
And we're going to have to end it there. Yep. Good. And we'll pick up there next week.
Yeah.
We'll see what that means, Tony. Thank you so much for your time, as always, and your insight.
Okay, you're very welcome, Don. Look forward to talking to you.
Same things. And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.